Exodus chapter 3, from verse 1 onwards. Please pray this prayer after me. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Lord, open my ears to hear your truth. Lord, open my mind to receive your truth. Lord, open my heart to keep your truth. Let me be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. Let me bring forth much fruit to the praise and glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord. I will listen and obey. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Exodus chapter 3, from verse 1 onwards. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of God appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Now, there are several messages that I've given from this very same section, which should be on our website. You can go and listen to that. It'll bless you greatly. There are many, many important truths that God spoke from this, which will still be applicable for you for today. And God can speak from that to you, which will cause you to be propelled by the Spirit of God in the right direction, in the direction that God wants you to go. So just keep that in the back of your minds after this meeting is over. In addition to this, please go and listen to those recordings. Today, we're going to continue and see what God is going to speak to us. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I will stop right here, as the Holy Spirit wants me to. I really pray that you pay close attention to that which God is about to speak through this passage, because it's very important. It's very important for every single person here, as God has a message for you from this word. We read how Moses was on this mountain of God called Horeb. He is taking his father-in-law's sheep, the flock, and he is going there. And suddenly he is seeing this bush, green bush, burning. While this bush is burning, you see the fire all around, all over. But you also see this green bush in the midst of it. That's like very strange. If it's burning, then it's going to be dry and it's burning and everything is going to come crumbling down. But how can you have a bush still intact while the fire is all around? God is speaking at this hour. How can you have this all-consuming fire on this bush, but the bush is not consumed? How can this bush have this all-consuming fire on it, but still not consumed? God is speaking to our hearts at this hour. You call this the power of Yahweh, power of the great I Am. He has the power to consume something, yet not consume that. It's so beautiful. He still has the power to overtake everything without causing any damage to it, because he's just using that to get the attention of someone. This is who our God is. It's a privilege for this bush to have this glory of God all over it. There are many bushes there, many trees there, many shrubs there, but God chose this bush to bring his glory upon that bush. And now all of a sudden, Moses notices this fire and he also notices this bush. And you know what drew Moses to that burning bush? It was the fire, not the bush itself. Bush, yes, because it carried the fire and it didn't burn. But there were many other bushes that were there. He didn't go around looking and staring at every bush that is there and trying to study the structure of every bush. No. This was an extraordinary bush. This bush carried the glory of God. And when this bush carried the glory of God, this bush was not consumed by the glory of God. Rather, this bush became an attractive instrument in the hands of this all-consuming fire, where Moses was drawn by this fire and he was drawn by this bush to this fire to see, what kind of thing is this? What is this? That is the glory of God. If people would hear our stories as to what God has done, that's how they'll be drawn to the Savior. They'll say, what is this? With all of these things, you are not consumed. Oh yes, not consumed. But this will draw the people to this all-consuming fire. And you know what this fire consumes? This fire consumes everything that is evil. This fire, all-consuming fire, comes to burn the chains of the people. This all-consuming fire comes to burn the suffering of the people. That's what this all-consuming fire does. God is love. God is a consuming fire. And this glory of God that descended upon this bush did not consume the bush, but actually took the bush to a whole new level. And the bush is having this big experience. And this experience is the fire is all over this bush, but the bush is still alive. The bush is still well. It's glowing with this fire. The rest of the bush are all just standing there, just the way the other bushes are. Nothing outstanding about it. Nothing spectacular. But this bush is very different. It carries its fire over it, but it's not consumed. You call that a testimony. When you have a powerful testimony, when you have a true testimony, when you have God do something in your life, you know what that will do? That will speak louder than anything else. It's louder than a megaphone. It's louder than any newspaper ad. It's louder than any television ad. It's louder than any marketing tool that is out there. It's louder than any of those things. When the fire of God comes, when the true fire of God comes upon a bush, it's just a bush, like any other bush. But this bush has been given over to God. This bush has been handpicked by God, and this bush has been handed over to God. And what happens as a result of that? The glory of God, the fire of God, comes upon that bush. At that point, what happens to that bush? The bush is no longer just like the rest of the bush. This is so different that all of a sudden, whoever is going by, passing by, cannot but stop and look and say, what is this? I see fire, and then I'm going to say, oh, fire, 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 I'm going to run. No, because this fire is not consuming this bush. When I go near, I'm not going to get burned. I want to go see what it is. Let me go see what's happening to this bush. When your life carries the power of God, those who pass by cannot but stop and say, what is this? They're not going to feel like, oh, if I come near this, I'm going to die. No, they're going to, no, if I come near this, I will live. I got to come near this. I got to see this. I got to see this. I got to see this. What is so attractive about you? Do you have anything extraordinary? You need to. Can't live like the rest of the people. You know, a lot of people in this world, they do all kinds of crazy things because they want to stand out. They do all kinds of crazy things. But still, if you look at the rest of the people, you have people who are just as crazy as them, who look just like them. Weird. You have people who do weird things just like them. Nothing unique about it, very demonic about it. But when you go for the real thing, you see the glory of God that is there, that outshines everything. It overpowers all the darkness. Now, this bush has become useful. All this time it was on this mountain. Nobody ever noticed that. But now all of a sudden this bush has found its purpose. And the purpose was to draw Moses. The bush is there. Moses is there. The glory of God is there. The call of God comes through that bush. From God to Moses. As God spoke Sunday, it's from God to the people. You stand in the middle. You're able to get it and give it to them. That's what the bush did. The bush was there. The glory of God was there. And Moses was there. And you know who had the conversation? God and Moses. And now in the middle, the bush was there as God's instrument. God is speaking at this hour. It takes one touch of God. It takes one touch of God to change a person's life from being someone who is being wasted away, from being someone who is just like the rest of the rottenness that is out there, or from being someone who is just like any average person that's there. God says, you want to be an average bush or you want to be an extraordinary bush? Do you want to have a purpose in life? Do you want to accomplish something before you go? Something useful. Something lasting. Something that will be forever. Do you want to be such a person? God is speaking at this hour. If you want to be such a person, then this word is for you. You need to give yourself over to God and say, God, take all of me. You know, this bush was not a bush where just one of his branches had the fire there and was hanging there. No, the entire bush was burning. The entire bush was consumed with this glory of God. We call it the fire of God. It just drew Moses because the entire bush was burning, but yet the bush was not consumed. So the bush is there. It's like an electrified bush. Nothing happened to the bush. The bush is still alive. The bush is still well, but it just got into a heightened state. Heightened state, but the glory of God came all of a sudden. And it became an instrument in the hand of God, where God was speaking right from that bush to Moses. Praise be to God. I want to take you a little further where the Spirit of God wants me to, and I will stop right there. Now, God talks to Moses, and God says, don't stand here, Moses, the way you're standing. Take your shoes off because there's a holy place. Take your shoes off. And Moses did exactly that, because when you come to the presence of God, the house of God. Like we come Sunday to church, we call it the house of God. We come to the house of God where God is and God is working. There's reverence for God. God who made the heavens and the earth is here. Oh my God. What an awesome thing that is. Do we really know? Or we're just entering into a place like how we enter into a temple or enter into some church or enter into some hotel or enter into some restaurant or enter into some cafe or enter into a movie theater or just go to some sightseeing place or somewhere to a park or to a friend's house. No, this place is not that place. If God is really working there and signs and wonders are happening and the Spirit of God is moving and the Word of God is coming and every word that God is saying through a sermon is just happening, who is speaking? Man or God? God. God is right there. When God is in operation, it's the house of God. When you enter there, that all for the glory of God, the reverence for the presence of God, and to come there saying, God, I'm coming to meet with you, has to be there. So the shoes that Moses wore, you know, when you wear shoes, you know, nobody's going to say that these are just shoes and I'm going to use it as my pillow. No. You walk all over. It's dirty at the bottom. God said, just take this off because nothing unclean can come into the presence of God. God didn't say, Moses, well, you wore the shoes, so you can't come inside. No, no, no. Just take the shoes off. Take the shoes off and come to the presence of God. And so putting away that which is unclean, putting away that which is defiling is very important. As you come to the presence of God, God will tell you what to take off. So Moses, when he came near the burning bush, God told Moses, Moses, take your shoes off. That's what the Lord told him to. God didn't say, okay, throw your, you know, staff away and take your outer coat away and put your turban off. And he didn't say any of those things. Oh, you had dust all over. No, no, no. That which was very defiling, filthy, God pointed that out to Moses and said, take that off, Moses. So when did that happen? When he came closer to this burning bush. There's this word of God that comes to him. You call that conviction in our terms. When you come to the presence of God, when you come to the house of God, the Spirit of God will speak to you. You call that conviction. The Spirit of God will tell you what is good, what is not, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. Very important for us to know what is good and what is not good. If you go for an MRI or if you go for an x-ray, they will tell you, if you're going to go for an MRI, make sure you take all your jewelry off and make sure your clothing doesn't have any buttons or any metal in it and make sure your pants don't have any metal in it. Why do they say those things? Is it because they want to control you? Somebody who is kooky over here, they will say, you're trying to control me. The technician is trying to control me and I'm going to go with my jewelry. And they say, oh, no, 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 you cannot go in there. You know why? Because it's not good for you. It's not good for you. Why do they ask all these questions? Do you have clip in your body? Do you have any metal in your body? Do you have any implants in your body? Do you have any ear implants? They ask a whole bunch of questions. Why? Because they don't want you to get hurt while you go for that MRI. MRI is a good thing. You know, it has been set up. It's a tool that has been reserved for those who are in need of such tools. And when you have to use that tool, you need to abide by the rules so that you don't get hurt by it. It's not meant to hurt you. But if you use it in a wrong way, it's going to hurt you. So it's important to know the rules so that you can benefit from it at the same time, not misuse it and get hurt by it. So when it comes to the presence of God, it's just like that. Same thing with x-rays. You don't go with metal. You don't go with whatever. You should not go. But same thing with, you know, if you're going for a surgery. They tell you, don't drink any liquids 8 hours or 12 hours before the surgery. Or you go for certain blood tests. They say that no eating or drinking before your test. Why do they say that? Do they say that, oh no, this is just the hospital trying to control me and they don't want me to eat and, you know, they're just jealous of my food. And that's craziness if we think that way. Nobody thinks like that. When the doctor says, when the technicians ever say, okay, 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 okay. We all know how to say okay to that because we have so much faith in the doctors and so much faith in the technicians. But when it comes to God, a lot of times we don't even have half the faith, half the amount of faith that we exercise when it comes to the medical procedures, the rules and regulations that we must follow, or any other procedures, by the way. We know. When you go for your license or when you go for your permits, whatever it is, you need to bring your birth certificate, you need to bring your social security card, or you need to have your ID card, whatever it is, nobody will say, Allah, I'm not going to give you that. That's control. I'm not going to give that. I'm going to bring what I want to bring. And if I'm not going to bring that, you should give me this. They'll say, get out. You're not getting it. Human beings know how to comply with the regulations because regulations are put for you to benefit from it. But if you misuse that, you can get burned by it. You have to understand that every word that God has in His word, it is for your benefit. It is to bless you. It is to prosper you. It is to enrich your soul. It is to enrich your mind. It is to enrich your body. God looked at Moses and He said, Moses was in the desert. Like I said, you can have sand, dust, you know, all over. You can have winds. You can have all kinds of things all over. But the Lord looked at the feet and He said, the sandals that you are wearing, He didn't say put in the garbage. He said, put it to the side. You cannot bring it here. There's a reason for that. What He was wearing was to protect His feet, but the sandals was carrying all the filth that was on the earth wherever He walked. So God said, this cannot come here. So the reason why God tells us to take off the sandals from our feet is because it carries all the dirty stuff from the ground. And He says, take it off because I'm going to give you something very, very powerful, something very unique, something that is so holy and priceless. Sandals cannot get there. So when God says, you can't bring your sandals there, we can't say, oh God, no, I will bring that in. No. If you know how to get to your MRI, taking the jewelry off and even taking your wedding band off, and you can go there. When God tells you, take your sandals off, the smartest thing for you to do is to get rid of your sandals. Now, don't go and say, Pastor Gerber said, take your sandals off. And so I took my sandals off and got myself poked. That's not the point. The point is, when you come to the house of God, God will speak to your heart. What should go? And whatever He says should go is something that is defiling. It actually makes us ugly. It actually makes us dirty. It makes us filthy. And He says, put that away so that I can give you something big. So when God says, delete, that means He's not taking it from you, no. He's actually pushing it out of you so that He can fill that with something useful, something good, something great, and something wonderful. So now we see here, Moses is told to take his sandals off. And when you come to the house of God, God can speak to you. God will speak to you about whatever is not good for you, whatever is dirty, whatever is defiling. God will show you, and God will also help you to get rid of that. And then what did God do? What did God do? Let's just continue reading here. Let's just go here. Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that He turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. God is calling Moses, the God who made the heavens and the earth. He knew Moses by name. As Moses is looking at the burning bush and saying, wow, what is this? God calls him by name. When you come to the presence of God and you are in awe of what God is doing, know that it's not just for you to just come and have some kind of an experience and go back home. It's for God to have an encounter with you and for you to have an encounter with God. It's for you to have that one-on-one encounter with the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good being, God Almighty. Now, you look at God here. Then He said, do not draw near this place. I mean, He didn't call Moses to just keep him far away. Now, He wanted him to come closer, but He said, you know what? I want you to come closer, but you know what? Just take those slippers off. Take those sandals off and come inside. And you know, God is not someone who just says,
I just don't like those shoes. No. He says, the reason for it, he says, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Hallelujah. When we come to the presence of God, when we come to the house of God, when we come to worship the living God, we need to know that place is a holy ground because God comes there. Not because it's just a building, no. Because God comes there. In a building, God must be there. When he is there, it becomes holy. And when it is holy, whatever is defiling cannot be there. And that's where God will say, this has to go. He won't tell us to go. He'll say, whatever you're having, whatever you're wearing, which is not good, just put that away. I want you. That's why I'm calling you by your name. God is speaking at this hour. God is such a good God. Because he wants you. Because he wants to bless you. Because he wants to make you into something very glorious through his power. He calls you by your name. But you know what? As you come closer, you need to know that. You can't come with the old, every ugly, big, dirty bag and say, I'll come the way I am. Yes, you can come near, but in order to enter in, to receive that which he has for you, he will tell you, I want you to come. I want to give it to you. But you know what? Just take those things that are stinky. Take those things that are filthy. Take those things that are dirty because I don't want you defiling this place. Hallelujah. He wants you. But he doesn't want those dirty things to come and make his place dirty because it's holy. His place cannot be defiled. Remember that. His house cannot be defiled. It cannot. He's all holy. If he has to be there, it has to be holy. So in order for you to be blessed by God, you can come to the house of God. But as you come to the house of God, God will say, take those sandals off. And I'm going to give you something big. Take those sandals off. And I'm going to give you something big. Whatever God is calling you today. And he's telling you, that is defiling my son. That is defiling my daughter. That is ugly my son. That is ugly my daughter. I want you to put that away so that I can give you something big. I can bless you and I can make you into something useful. Your life will have a purpose. God is speaking to your hearts at this hour. Now, God speaks to him in verse 5 and he says, don't draw near this place. The very same God who called because he wanted him to come. He says, do this and then come. Now he says, this you do. Now Moses is doing what God told him to do and the conversation proceeds here. Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The glory of God, the voice of God, all powerful, the very God who called him by his name. Now he's telling Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. He could have said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No. He says, I am the God of your father. You come from there, Moses. He is showing Moses his identity, who you belong to. The God of Abraham, your father. I'm your God, Moses. The God of Isaac. I'm your God, Moses, and the God of Jacob, the God of your ancestors, your forefathers. I'm your God, Moses. Now, Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. Imagine God is speaking. All-powerful God is speaking. And you see, he's speaking with a purpose. God never comes unto come and talk to people and say, boo, I'm here to scare you. Or here, I want to just give to you to show how powerful. No, he's a very loving God. When God comes to us and he interacts with us, it is always with a purpose. And his purpose is big. His purpose is something that will bring glory to his great name. Its purpose is something that will bless the nations of the world. His purpose is to cause God's goodness to be revealed to the people that are out there. He tells Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And as Moses was terrified, God is showing who he is. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. If you're underlining, you can underline the words, my people, who were in bondage, God's people. Who were in bondage? God's people. He's saying, I have seen the oppression of my people. Imagine the weight that God was bearing. These are his people and they are in bondage. These are his people and they are being whipped by their slave owners. These are his people. They are being tormented day and night. The enemy's hand is heavy upon them. He says, I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because their taskmasters. Because of their taskmasters, that means every time they're being whipped and they're crying, God help me, God help me, God help me. God has heard their cry. Imagine how his ears would have been hurting. His heart would have been hurting. His eyes would have been hurting just seeing the suffering of his people. A God is not a God who just sees the suffering and just sits on a big throne and he says, okay, I'm just going to wait for some time to come, and with no emotions and with no feeling. He's a God who feels. He feels your pain more than you feel your pain. He feels your agony more than you can even feel your agony. He understands you when you cannot understand yourself. God is speaking at this hour. This is the real God, the God of love. He saw the oppression of his people. He said he heard their cry. There's a God who sees and he hears and he says, oh, they got to be delivered. For I know their sorrows. Think about this statement. Just as verse 7 alone shows the heart of God. He sees their cry. He hears their cry. He sees their sorrows. And he says, I have come because of this. I am seeing what is happening to the people. God says, I'm seeing what is happening to the people. So I have come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And what is God saying here? These are the people who are going through all of these things. I prepared a place for them. I want to take them from this oppression. I want to uproot them out of this land of the oppression. And I want to take them to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Moses, will you be that person? God says, I want to deliver. You know how heaven operates? He uses man. He uses you. God uses human beings. In order to bring deliverance to people, he must find a deliverer. Yes, God is the ultimate deliverer, but the deliverer on earth will carry the delivering power of God in order to deliver the people. If they are not there, God's heart will be broken. You know, Satan has his evil agents. Satan also knows. In order to cause damage, he needs human beings. In order to destroy, he uses human beings and he destroys human beings. That's who Satan is. He'll entice human beings and he will use them. And while he's using them, he'll destroy them to the core. But God is very different. He loves people. In order to set another human being free, he looks for channels that are clear before God. That means people who will listen and simply do. People who can actually bring deliverance. People who will be the deliverer, as Moses was a deliverer to the people of Israel who are bound in Egypt. God is looking for people who will truly be the deliverer, to bring his deliverance to the people, to bring the people from the land of sin to the land of glory, the heavenly Canaan, which is heaven itself. God is seeing the oppression. Night and day, he's seeing the human beings that he has created. Night and day, he's seeing all the backslidden people and all the people from Christian homes who have parents who lived like the devil and who have had grandparents who had nothing to do with God. They just went to church and they abused their kids or their grandkids and they neglected and they did all kinds of things. They were fighting and screaming and they were cursing in the house. And the children said, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And they left Jesus. God is asking you today this question. Will you be that deliverer? Will you be someone who will bring those people who have completely left God because of what another human being did to them? They are bad-mouthing God because of what they saw in their friend or their neighbor or their old church or whichever church they went to, wherever. All those people who acted like the devil because they served the devil. There are many people who are now bound to the devil. They're crying. They said, I don't know how to come out. And I don't know how to come out. And I don't know how to come out. And there are people who have gone into other religions too. Because they didn't find life. You have a dead religion. And they've gone into other religions looking for the truth. How can you look for the truth where lie is the God? How can you look for truth where you have lies as a king? How can you? Yet they don't know. Because they sold themselves to whatever that was there and it happens to be not the truth. It happens to be the lie. So now they're there bound and oppressed and they're going through so much. God says, I've seen their tears. I've heard their cries. I've heard their groanings. I've seen their oppression. Will you deliver such people? Those who are in bondage. Those who are in addiction. Those who are being abused. And even those who are abusing. All those who are there. Those who are in prison. Those who are in prison in their own homes. Those whose marriages are broken. Those whose children are dying. And the parents don't even know. Many children commit suicide. Parents like, I thought he was happy. I thought she was happy. No knowledge of what's going on inside their children. That's how involved they were, so to speak. May God have mercy. We are living in a dysfunctional society. We are living in a system that is completely broken, enslaved by Lucifer, the wicked, dark prince. Who has families and children under bondage and night and day he has them under his whip and he's whipping them. Yet you know what? A lot of Christians just go to church. Holy, and some people don't even care about holiness anymore. They just go and they think once a week they go and they do some duty and then they come back home. It's over. I'm doing good. We're all doing good. We're all fine. Meanwhile, dead men's bones are there. Meanwhile, worms are there. What are you doing? I'm pretending like nothing is stinking. I'm pretending like every... How can you pretend? When the stink is so much, when God is seeing the tears and he's seeing the groanings, yet you pretend like everything is well, the whole world is well, and we say that we are prepared for the coming of Jesus. Who are we deceiving? God is speaking at this hour. How can you close your eyes to those who are weeping? How can you close your ears to those who are weeping? How can you close your eyes to those who are dying? How can you close your eyes to all the abuse that is happening? How can you close your eyes to all the violence that is going on? How can you close your eyes to all the children who are dying? How can you close your eyes to all the teenagers who are dying? How can you close your eyes to all the abuse that is happening to the elderly? How can you close your eyes to all the abuse that is happening to the women? How can you close your eyes to all the abuse that is happening to the men? How can you close your eyes to all the poverty that is all over? How can you close your eyes to all the sickness that is everywhere? Satan is just running wild everywhere, and yet nobody wants to do anything. Everybody is consumed about their own lives. God is looking at you today, and he's asking you this question. The very same question that he asked Moses. Hey, Moses, I have seen all these things. And I want to deliver them. I use people. Will you be my man? God is looking at you, whether you're a man or a woman. God is asking you this question. Do you have the character? to be God's man, to be God's woman, to be someone who will bring change in the society, to be someone who will bring about the change that God is looking for? Or are you going to be some lazy old person sitting in some corner and saying that, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit down. God is speaking to you today. Every single person can play a vital part in the kingdom of God. Every single person. Every single person can play a vital part in the kingdom of God. Every single one of you. God is speaking at this hour. God's call must come to you today, loud and clear, in your ear. God's heart is heavy, as we heard on the second Sunday of this month. The heart that is broken the most out of all is the heart of the Father. He's seeing all that is happening, and he wants human beings. He has the power. He just needs human beings so that he can pour his power and use them as his deliverer to deliver the people. Yet there's lack of commitment. Yet there's laziness all over. There's untruthful everywhere. Pride all over. Even if he can't do much, we all think that we can do everything. How can God use anyone like that? All my time, my money, my body, and my sleep, and my beauty, and my this, and my that. Meanwhile, decay everywhere. God is looking at you and he's asking you this question. Hey, I am seeing death everywhere. I am seeing devastation everywhere. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? I want to deliver my people. They are crying day and night. Are you going to do something about it? I want to deliver them. God wants to deliver. He has the power. He gives the power. Without his power, we cannot do anything. But with his power, he needs a human being. God is looking for people. God is looking for people. He says, will you be that deliverer? Moses was the deliverer. God's deliverer who brought God's deliverance to the people of Israel. Who? The ones who were whipped. The ones who were crying. The ones who were groaning. The ones who were weeping. The ones who were lamenting. The ones who were crying out to God saying, God, get us out of this. 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 God is looking at you today and he's asking this question. Will you become God's deliverer? Will you become God's deliverer? Or are you just going to say, oh, happy day. Oh, when Jesus washed my sins away, I'm so happy. Oh, happy day. And keep sitting in the same spot till the day you die. Or just share a testimony here and a testimony there and you're happy. God has something far greater for you. Whatever area you give to God, he can take that and do something big. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll see how Moses felt so incompetent. But what God did with him. It is not about what you can and what you cannot do. That's what we need God's power. None of us can do anything with what we have when it comes to delivering anyone from anything. We can't do with human strength. We cannot do with human charisma. We cannot do with human education. We cannot do with human talents. We cannot do anything with human abilities when it comes to delivering anyone from the hands of the oppressor. Only God's spirit has the power over demonic spirits. Human spirits cannot compete with demonic spirits. Demonic spirits are more powerful than human spirits. God's spirit is more powerful than demonic spirits. When we partner with the power of all powers, King Jesus and his army, he gives us that power to deliver the people who are under the hands of this evil force. God is asking you this question today. How eager are you to become useful in the hands of God? Do you have that faith? Do you know that you can actually play a big part in the kingdom of God? Do you know that no matter what your age is, even if you're so little or you're so big or you're somewhere in between, doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter to God. God used little David. He used little Joseph. He used little Samuel. Age doesn't matter to God at all. But the sincerity is what God is looking for. Whatever your age may be, God has the power. He has the potential. He has the capacity. But are you willing to be that person? And you know what Moses had to do? Moses had to leave Midian. And he had to go with God in order to become the deliverer to go to Egypt. You can't be in two places at the same time. God is speaking at this hour. Moses had to make that change. Whatever God is calling you to do, God is speaking at this hour. It is important for you to make that shift when the Spirit of God comes and he says, make that shift. To be bold enough to make that shift. When that shift takes place, the Spirit of God will give you everything you need. Moses was no longer the Moses who was just a little shepherd who was shepherding his father-in-law's flock, not even his own flock. Moses became the deliverer of God for the people of God. My people, God said. He said, my people are crying. My people are in bondage. My people are going through this. He said, yes, Lord, I'm coming. I'm yours too. And your people are my people. Your people are suffering. And Moses had that burden before itself. And God is coming to him. Moses couldn't do anything in his human strength. He had that burden, but he didn't have power. You can have burden, and if you don't have power, it'll be a disaster. That's what happened to Moses. But now, the story is different. God is putting his burden into Moses. He's putting his power into Moses. What a powerful combination. God's burden and God's power. That's how Moses became this deliverer. From being a shepherd to his father-in-law's flock, he became this deliverer, God's deliverer. And he brought deliverance to the entire nation of Israel, the people of Israel, who were bound in slavery. He was able to bring them all out from Egypt because he had God's vision and he had God's power. God's vision was imparted into him at that Horeb by the burning bush. He went with God's vision, having received God's power. From that point onwards, everything changed. He never said, I'm not doing this, Lord. No, no, no. He has received God's vision. So every time something would go wrong, he'll go to God and say, Lord, deliver this people. And God would do that. He was someone who brought those 10 plagues to the land of Egypt in order to bring the people of God out. That's how powerful he was. Because he had God's power. He never gave up. You know why? Because he had God's vision. From being, I can too. Someone who moved heaven and earth to bring deliverance for God's people. Someone who would not turn back, no matter how. Even the people got frustrated and wanted to turn back. He was someone who had received the vision of God, the heart of God. And with the power of God, he overcame every obstacle, became God's deliverer. God is asking you this question. Are you going to live an ordinary life? Or are you going to live an extraordinary life? Are you going to live a life that will gladden the heart of the Father by being God's deliverer to all those who are crying out? A lot of people have been crying out. It's been too long. Most people's ears have been plugged by Satan. Most people's eyes have been veiled. All they see is themselves. Much is happening out there. And the cries of the people have reached the ears of God. We're in that kind of a period. We're in that kind of a calendar. But God is standing before us and he's asking this question. He's looking at our church and he's asking this question. I have seen their tears. I've heard their cries. I have heard everything. It has reached my ears. It has come up to me. I want to deliver them. Will you become my deliverer? Will you become my deliverer? Will you become my deliverer? Forget about everything else that's out there. You have to be mission-minded. Will you become my deliverer? Partnering together with the God of the heavens and the earth, you can make history. Moses did. Partnering together with the God of heavens and the earth, you can make history. Moses made history. God is speaking at this hour, and he is with God Almighty now. Partnering with God Almighty, you can make history. Moses made history. He became God's deliverer in his generation. In your generation, will you become God's deliverer? God is looking for people who will make history through the power of God, through the compassion that comes from God, through the passion that comes from the heart of God. Are you going to waste your life away? Are you going to live an ordinary life? Or are you going to be someone who will say, Lord, like Moses, I don't even have my own anything. I can't even speak right. I can't do anything right. But my hands, Lord, I give to you. My feet, Lord, I give to you. My eyes, Lord, I give to you. My everything I give to you. Lord, you take control of me. You do whatever you want to do with me. I will be your man. I will be your woman. I will be God's man. I will be God's woman. Lord, I will be your deliverer. I give my all to you. You and Jesus can do big things. Through God, you shall do valiantly. It is he who shall tread down all our enemies. Every oppression, every bondage, every addiction, every sickness, every voodoo, witchcraft, all kinds of demons that are running wild, destroying families, destroying young people, destroying children, destroying women, destroying men, destroying everything that is out there. Can you become someone who will partner with God so that you can stop that? Bring the people who are bound by that out of that so that they can have brand new lives, so that they can have their Canaan, so that they can experience that which God has for them, with their hands being set free. Hallelujah. Right now they're all bound. Right now their heads are down. But God can use you to set their hands free. God can use you to cause their heads to be lifted up. God can use you to cut those shackles off of their feet. God can use you to have them eat normally. God is looking for people. Will come to God, partner with them, so they can become God's deliverer and make history in their generation. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, God Almighty. Full of power, full of glory. Hallelujah. I call on you at this hour, oh, my precious Savior, hallelujah. Touch your people wherever they are, touch your people at this hour, hallelujah. Let your cleansing power flow upon them, at this hour. Hallelujah. Break every bondage, break every bondage, break every bondage in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Set the captives free in Jesus' name. Let the revelation from the King fall upon them, fall upon them, fall upon them at this hour. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Raise up, raise up, raise up, raise up, raise up an army, Father, hallelujah. Raise up men and women with integrity, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, raise up, raise up, raise up men and women of integrity. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, people who have eyes to see, ears to hear, oh, what God is speaking, what God is showing in this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the bondage-breaking name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break every bondage in Jesus' name, in the bondage-breaking name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break every shackle in Jesus' name, every darkened eye, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let it be illuminated by the light of Jesus Christ of this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every darkened heart, let it be illuminated by the glory light of the Lord Jesus Christ of this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every darkened understanding be removed at this hour. Oh, let the glory of God touch your people at this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, I praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your work that you're doing. Thank you for your work that you're doing. Oh, I praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, raise us to new heights. Cause us to shine bright your light. Oh, yes. Don't want to be limited by night. Won't be limited by night. Oh, raise us to new heights. Cause us to shine bright your light. Don't want to be limited by night. Won't be limited by night. Won't be limited by night. Won't be limited by night. So help us, Lord, this we pray. We need your strength. We need you this day. To take back what is ours, to bring back what we've lost. With every breath we say, we will not rest until through you we break every boundary. So help us, Lord, this we pray. We need your strength, we need you this day. To take back what is ours, to bring back what we've lost. With every breath we say, we will not rest until through you we break every boundary. We break every boundary. We break every boundary. Hallelujah. We break every boundary, 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 hallelujah. We break through your spirit. Break the boundary that's before us. And take through your power, take. From the enemy who took from us. Lord, give for your glory's sake. All the treasures you have for us. And we'll make your name great as you move in and through our lives. Oh, yes. So raise us to new heights. Cause us to shine bright your light. Don't want to be limited by night. Won't be limited by night. Oh, raise us to new heights. Cause us to shine bright your light. Don't want to be limited by night. Won't be limited by night. Oh, help us, Lord, this we pray. We need your strength. We need you this day. To take back what is ours, to bring back what we've lost. With every breath we say, we will not rest until through you we break every boundary. So help us, Lord, this we pray. We need your strength, we need you this day. To take back what is ours, to bring back what we've lost. With every breath we say, we will not rest until to through you. We break every boundary. We break every boundary. We break every boundary. We break every boundary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your presence that is here. Thank you for your spirit who is moving in our midst. Hallelujah. Thank you for touching your people. All those who have sincerely cried out to you at this hour saying, God, I want to be that deliverer, not for my sake, but for your glory, so that the people who are weeping in the night, people who are in the dark, people who have nowhere to go, people who are bound by the oppressor, people who are being whipped day and night by this evil work of darkness, this prince of darkness, all may they be delivered by the power of the Almighty God. Oh, all those who are crying out to you at this hour and saying, Lord, I give myself over to you. Oh, to leave that Midian, to go into the land that God has for me. Oh, to be God's mouthpiece, to be God's hand, to be God's feet. Oh, to do that which God has called all me to do. Lord, I give myself over to you. Oh, I'm going to pray for you at this hour. Let the Spirit of God touch you. Hallelujah. There's this character formation that needs to take place. And the Spirit of God has to work in you. Yield yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit so that God can fill you. Hallelujah. Yield yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit so that God can mold you. Hallelujah. Yield yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit so God can use you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Touch your people at this hour. Touch your people at this hour. Touch your people at this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, wherever there's uncleanness, wherever the shoes need to be removed, in the name of Jesus, let your people put away whatever is defiling them, Father. In the name of Jesus, let the Spirit of Truth invade their lives right now in Jesus' name. Let the Spirit of Truth go into every dark area of their lives in Jesus' name. Oh, let the Spirit of Truth cut through every error, every lie of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, let the Spirit of Truth, oh, flood their hearts at this hour in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, that they be positioned themselves to receiving everything that you have for them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. That each one may become the deliverer that you've called them to be, that you're calling them to be at this hour in the name of Jesus. That in their generation they may see a mighty move of God. Hallelujah. Oh, that this great exodus that must take place in our generation, where people must be set free from the slavery, oh, to the prince of darkness. Hallelujah. Oh, and be brought to the prince of light in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, may our people become your hands and feet, Father. May our people become people who will stand for the people who are being bound, who will stand up for the people who are weeping, who will stand up for the people who are dying in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Oh, that every form of helplessness and inability to deliver the people, let it be dissolved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me truly have what it takes to deliver the people, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your work that you've accomplished this day. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. And I give you all the praise. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen.